Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima.
A voice you've been listening to call your Cleveland Browns football game since 1999, since they kicked off in 99. To the 2021 season and beyond, a man who we hope that gets to call the Cleveland Browns winning Super Bowl 56. How do they get there? Let's ask him. Jim Donovan joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What did you think of this draft? Is there any sort of negative criticism, anything at all you can think of for the draft?
No, not in the football part of it and not in the hosting part of it. I just thought it was a grand slam. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I was down there on Thursday and Friday doing the sportscast and the newscast for Channel 3, and it was electric down there. And Thursday wasn't, a fun night down there, you know, weather-wise. Mm-hmm. But it was it didn't dampen the spirit down there, and it was just thrilling. And it was and it doubled up. It was even better on Friday, and I know they had great crowds and great weather on Saturday. And the football part was, I was kind of waiting to see what it was going to be like because this was all new, waiting until 26 to draft and supposedly 59 until they moved up to 52. And I was amazed at what they were able to do, especially, you know, from the second round on. I mean, the first round, you sit in there and you hope maybe that you're going to get the guy that you want or in the position group that you want to draft in. And I just, you know, I was in awe of what they were able to do all throughout the rounds and continuing all through Saturday. I thought it was just a great, great weekend.
I got to tell you, I'll get back to football here in a second because I talked to you on Thursday. I talked to you on Friday, and you mentioned right. The crowd reactions. I got to tell you, I was a little bit surprised because it didn't seem like there was a big lead up to it locally. Going in, I thought there'd be people like from other cities coming here watching their team draft. And then just to see the local flavor, Lima said all the bars were packed. Gave me the reactions of the fans that were just as strong as could be. It was such a nice, pleasant surprise, and it made anybody here feel good. It had to.
Oh, Ken, it was just fantastic. I mean, it was so well planned out. And you know, a lot of that goes to the NFL, but a lot of it goes to Cleveland, too. And what they were able to do. But it's the excitement of the people that kind of carry it through. I mean, you can have the facility, you can have that big stage, you can have First Energy Stadium open with all of the activities they had for families and for the kids, which was really a great experience. And you can have all of that in the locker room experience and the Super Bowl rings, but it's then the people coming down and filling the areas and then filling the air with anticipation and excitement. And when it would build up, well, specifically Friday night, when the buzz came that they had traded and they had traded up, I mean, it was just incredible. It was like winning a big game and the clock ticking down, you know, on the final drive of the game that you're going to go in and win. And, you know, the ultimate then the announcement of the linebacker from Notre Dame was just fantastic. So it was great. It was just a great party atmosphere and, you know, just kudos to everybody that was involved.
Do you think we'll get another one anytime soon? How tough is that going to be to pull off?
You know, Anthony, that's a great question because my answer to you is I think we should get another one, and I'll tell you why. I realize that everybody's going to line up now, and they have been lining up to make the bid to get a draft because it's been so successful. I mean, with us this weekend, but under very, very unusual circumstances. And I think we kind of took one for the NFL here because we gave them an amazing event, still not totally back to normalcy. And I don't know what the percentage is of how close we are to being back to normalcy, but we took it on. We did it. It wasn't what it was in Nashville or Chicago or Philadelphia or Dallas because of a pandemic. not a hint of apathy or, hey, you know, we're only going to be there when we pick and then we're going to blow out of there. And I think that we deserve another one under totally normal circumstances because of 2 points. Number one, we really took this one on and we gave them a great weekend that showcased to everybody that, hey, the fans are back. It's getting better. And maybe by the beginning of September, we'll be back 100%. You'll be able to go to the games and not have to, you know, worry about a lot of things that we've been worrying about for a year and a half now. And then the other factor is, you know, that we just do this well. This city really does this well, whether it's this particular event or an all-star game or a convention. We just do it well. It's a real homey atmosphere when you come here.
Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns, joining us on the hotline. You mentioned the excitement on day two, trading up to get the Notre Dame linebacker. Have you been practicing the pronunciation of his name? Have you been looking at what he likes to be called? And what is the fit for a guy that isn't your prototypical linebacker shape?
Hey, Ken, can I tell the story that I told to you on draft night?
Please.
Can I tell it now?
Please.
Okay.
Yes.
So on draft night, you know, Ken and Joe Thomas and Nathan had me on the network. And so the night of the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards that were on television this year, Tony Dungy did a half hour interview with me. It was kind of it was online and it was a Zoom situation, but it was for guests of the event. I mean, sponsors of the event. And before we went on, you know, I was talking to him and I asked him what it was like doing Notre Dame football this past year, because he did it with Mike Tirico on NBC. And he said, oh, it was great. It would have been great though if we had, you know, the atmosphere a little bit better with capacity and the band and really making it a Notre Dame Saturday afternoon. And I said, well, what did you think about them as a team? And he said, you know, I want to tell you, having seen the Browns on Sunday Night Football and in the playoffs, and having done Notre Dame football and being close to the program this year, closer than I had ever been before, if the Cleveland Browns could get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, it would be an incredible pick for them. And he said, because I coached Derrick Brooks when he was in Tampa. He is a young Derrick Brooks. He said, now, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it because they're going to be down in the first round of the draft, but he is a sensational player that would help them, you know, on the field schematically and talent-wise, be able to do what I think Joe Woods wants to do. And lo and behold, they end up getting him not at 26, but at 52. So, I mean, it really stuck with me that night that he told me that. And so I kept watching more and more of him, you know, on his highlight tape, which is, you know, it makes your jaw drop. But as far as what he's going to do, you know, he's just going to race around the field. And, you know, Anthony, I think that there's a problem the Browns have when they play against Lamar Jackson. They just cannot corner him. They can't get him down. They can't pen him in. And I think a guy like this, so athletic, is going to be able to help in that regard. You know, I think that they've answered it in other areas, and people think they're going to answer it at the safety spot, and I hope they do. But I think at linebacker, you really have to be able to survive inside your own division and defend against teams that you're going to have to play against twice a year. And I think this kid is just going to be a great player for them in that situation and whoever they play.
Is he a guy, and this is why I love Tony Dungy so much on it, and I'm a fan of Tony Dungy, I can't lie, but is he a guy who does or who could do what we were hoping that Jabril Peppers could do, and just because you didn't have the team around him, he just kind of got lost in the shuffle and then got sent to New York, is there a difference?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, because remember, Greg Williams didn't let him play near the line of scrimmage in his first year. And then that second year, the next year, and really, I remember near the end of the year, that year when the Browns had that little run in Mayfield's rookie year, Pepper started to play that way. He had that great game against Denver when he had the sack at the end of the game, and they ended up winning the game in Denver in that Saturday night. And, yeah, he started to play that way. And I think there was some hope, if we can finally visually see Grant Delpit on the field, that maybe he's going to play that way. But this guy will be able to play, you know, the linebacker position, whereas the other guys are safeties first, and then they become kind of that hybrid player. This guy is really just an incredible athlete. I mean, I would watch him. I can remember watching him play against Clemson the time Notre Dame beat them in South Bend, and he was all over the field. In fact, he scored in that game. So I think that role, that that new way of playing defense in the NFL just with great athleticism. Now, maybe Jacob Phillips is going to be able to play that way too. And I think that that's the hope with him. But I definitely think that this is this kid's calling card coming into the NFL.
Jim, I think like everybody, you notice that the Browns are getting unbelievably high remarks. When can you ever remember them getting A's across the board like this?
Well, I mean, maybe I can't really. I can remember, the Joe Thomas Brady Quinn draft. I think everybody was excited about it. But the body of the draft after that, the remaining rounds, wasn't all that great. I think maybe the John Dorsey draft when they got, but remember now they were at one and they were at four and they were at the top of the second round and then Chubb came right after that. I mean, that was pretty exciting, but this has been really amazing to watch just the whole body of work, Anthony. And that goes back into the preceding months in free agency and what they were able to do, because there was no mystery what they were going to have to do this offseason. There was no mystery at all. They're going to have to get better defensively. Now, how are they going to be able to do that? And it was just so interesting to watch how they did it during free agency. And then you said, fine, whatever they get in the draft will be gravy. And then they go out and they do this during the draft. It's just what a great job. And then in the aftermath, to listen to them, whoever comes down and meets with the media as part of the whole front office scheme, the scouting scheme, Andrew Berry, the coaching staff. There's such a great detail of organization and how they reach a decision and the homework that they did. I was with a couple of them on Monday night at an event leading up to the draft, and I asked them how confident they were, and they said, hey, listen, we are ready for every scenario. And I would say that played out over the weekend.
If there was any criticism at all, and it was very muted, it wasn't anything that crazy, some people were wondering about the pick at 91 of Anthony Schwartz. And see, I love where the Browns are, that they can take a chance on a player like this. But yeah, there were some people thinking the Browns could take a wide receiver maybe in the first, maybe in the second. Instead, they took more of a gimmicky player in the third. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think that when you go back now and you take a look at last year and post OBJ getting hurt, as good as the Browns were and as great as Mayfield was at the end of the year and how hot he got, if not even only in that game that against Cincinnati right after OBJ got hurt, there was a level of, for the Browns to get down the field offensively, they were very efficient and Baker was uber efficient. And that was great, but it does take them a while to get down the field. And sometimes I think things got really backed up and clogged up at times, and it took them a little bit of time to unwrap a defense because everybody realized they really don't have a threat to go over the top. Now, mind you, I know they hit the big pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones of 75 yards in the game against Tennessee when they had that tremendous game down there. But other than that, there really weren't any big hits of big, big plays, stretching plays down the field. Landry is a guy that really does a lot of stuff over the middle, the slants, the catch after the run after the catch, the same with the tight ends. So I thought it was needed anyway, and I think they probably got a good picture of it when they took a look at the game against Kansas City and what Tyreek Hill could do and what Hardman could do. And really, if you go back to the Baltimore game, what Marquise Brown represents. What was the threat of playing Ruggles that day against the Raiders? It's the over-the-top, a guy that can really stretch it and that Mayfield can just hang one out there and the guy can run to the ball. And I think that's been missing. So I don't think it's as much of a gimmick thing now. I think it's in everybody's playbook that you want to have that kind of a player. And I'm not even talking about the ability to just get him the ball on the line of scrimmage and let him run or run a jet sweep or things like that. So I was very comfortable where they picked him and the type of player that he was.
This might be a little unfair, but you always have an opinion on something like this. It's not even comparable to the other ones here. So let me ask you, what do you think of the Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals drafts?
Well, I thought the Steelers in the opening round, I thought that was the way they were going to go. They were going to go to the running back. I think that they kind of became un-Steeler-like. Last year, they had no running game, and at the end of the year, they had really no running game. I mean, James Conner was hurt. The offensive line just didn't get it done for them. They have to get back to that, and they have to get their offensive line better. But, you know, they're going to need a running back. Connor has left Pittsburgh now. You know, Baltimore does what Baltimore does. I mean, I think that there's no mystery how they do things. You know, they just continue to kind of reload. I have to tell you, I was surprised and yet not surprised at what Cincinnati did in the opening pick that they had, because I really thought that Joe Burrow physically got just beaten up. I mean, I can remember Tim Couch's first year with the expansion Browns back in 1999, and I don't know how good a quarterback Tim Couch would have ever been, but I do know this. He took an unmerciful beating because they were ill-prepared to play with him at quarterback because of the offensive line. That's how bad it was. And I think that was the case in Cincinnati. And I know it was a very glitzy pick to go with Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver and reunite him from his LSU days with Burrow and give them really big threats in the passing game with the guys that they have with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But I really do believe they did him a disservice by not picking a great offensive lineman, and they were all there at the time they picked. So, you know, they were very Bengal-like that way, that sometimes they, you know, don't look at really what they immediately need and kind of have a weird pick, you know. And they're, you know, they're pretty good in weirdness.
What should they do with Aaron Rodgers?
Boy, I tell you, the new mode right now, Ken, is if you keep saying you're not going to play for a team, you know, and you're really upset, he forces your hand. And if he really is going to dig in, and he seems to have that kind of a personality, whether it's with his own family or, you know, other people in the NFL, or definitely that team, which he has been kind of rubbing raw with the last few years, mm-hmm. going back to last year's draft and what they did when they drafted the quarterback and apparently didn't let him in on that. It just seems as though this is built up into one of those situations where if he's really serious about it and saying, I'm not going to play there, there's nothing. I want the general manager out, but if that report is true. But something's really amiss there, and he seems to have that type A personality that no one's going to change my mind, and he might be willing to sit and really cripple that franchise without him. And if he's sitting on the sideline as a PR nightmare, you know, he might be at the position where he's going to force them to make a move and rid himself of playing for the Packers. It's wow, what a situation there.
Yeah, what a wild trip it was, right? What a great season, and then it ended like that, and you're just like, yeah, this is it. You can tell he's angry.
He's an MVP. I mean, you know, and I know the NFC Championship game was a little, you know, kind of bizarre at times with what happened there at the end of the game, you know, and they going for the field goal rather than going for it on fourth down and goal. But there were a lot of great things. I mean, his play was absolutely exceptional up until that point in that particular game. And Tampa Bay, you know, played very well.
Jim, we can't thank you enough for the time. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. All the very best.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Jim Donovan, the voice of your Cleveland Browns, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we come back, I'm glad they're excited, because I'd be pretty nervous. And the one criticism we're hearing about the Browns draft. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lime on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.